remember, David is a doctor and he is an excellent metaphysician. He came to us from the Unity tradition, and I challenge him with reading Ernest Holmes periodically and giving us his perspective on this topic. Healing awareness feels just perfect. So over to you, David.
Gani, thank you. Let me know if this the sound is okay, if you can all hear it well. And so
Sounding good.
great. I would like to thank Jim for that Jim Croce song. It well performed, but it brings me back the old feelings of his music in the past. And thank you. Very inspiring. let me just get this off a little bit in the middle here. And okay, so I am always glad to talk to the Sterling Study Group. Connie contacted me last December, excuse me, to present a chapter in the new book that we're covering for 2023, The Anatomy of Healing Prayer. Now, I'm always pleased to present to the Sterling Group. As you know, I'm an Amer at heart, but I have grown to love Ernest Holmes. So thank you, Connie. I think all the New Thought teachers are coming from the same vibrations of we are spiritual beings living in our human lives under the universal laws of the divine. These laws are a priori. Ernest quotes Jesus in this chapter. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And then Ernest says, what did people know even before the Bible was written? We are all children of God. And we have all the attributes of spirit. And in this book, Ernest deals with the healing qualities and abilities we have as living examples of the divine within us. Now, let me back up a moment. In December, when Connie asked me if I were to present this chapter, she said she had a copy of the book for me, and we agreed to meet for lunch in February so I could get the book. And then I saw the book online in January and ordered a copy. It was $5 online. I didn't tell Connie I wanted to keep our lunch date. Anytime rendezvousing with Connie is a good time. It was a good thing that I got the book early, actually, because I read this chapter three times before I started to really make sense of it. I realized, and I was wondering why, it just didn't make sense in the beginning. I realized that prior books that I did chapters on were meant for a more general audience, whereas this book was a compilation of talks he gave to practitioners. And I'm not a practitioner, but slowly and surely, I realized we all have the power of the Creator and can use it to whatever we intend, as long as we understand the laws of the universe and have absolute faith that it is so. So I'll set out point by point what I think Ernest is saying. Each chapter has a sort of preamble of several paragraphs setting the tone of that chapter. It is written by George P. Bendel, who compiled this book of lectures. He was a very good friend of Holmes and was his close companion after Holmes' wife passed. By the way, the copy of the book that Connie gave me is the first edition signed by Bendel. So thank you again, Connie. So number one, the first sentence starts with, Jesus said, physician, heal thyself. Ernest thought Jesus accepted that thought was a movement of consciousness and would manifest in this world of three dimensions. He quotes the Bible again, which says, all that the Father has is thine, unquote. Therefore, it's not a distant God we pray to in supplication, but a oneness with the God force within. To be at one with God, Ernest says, we have to, in effect, quote, give ourselves a treatment for incorrect thinking, unquote. Number three, we have to be aware of our own consciousness at all times, our absolute fusion with source, quote, in us and as us, unquote. And that the heart and the mind and the intellect and the will and the consciousness completely accept it. Nothing within can reject it, unquote. Now, isn't that perfection? The number four, knowing this, the power of spirit, the Ernest said, the action of love, all the infinite and limitless joy and intelligence of our being is at the point of our now consciousness, quote, flowing to us and in us and around us effortlessly, unquote. As Abraham says, the only effort is getting into alignment. The universe takes over from there. Number five, once you are aware of the oneness with source within you, once you have the absolute knowing of whom you really are, then Ernest paraphrases the Bible, quote, then everything he does shall prosper, that joy shall follow him, that goodness shall surround him, that love shall flow through him to everything he touches. Remember the parable of the woman who bent down and touched Jesus' robe, and he said, I feel the spirit flowing out of me. So Jesus said, I feel the energy flowing out, that everything he touches is made whole, unquote. So then Ernest comes to the core of this chapter. He says, this is the law of each one of us, the law of our own being. Continue, quote, we accept the realization of the presence of truth at the center of our own being, the absoluteness of that truth, and our own authority in it. We have the authority to use that. So, as we accept who we really are, spirit incarnate, then we have control over the materialization of our desires. Number six, Ernest is telling us that there is a divine pattern in each of us, and the uniqueness of each one of us as part of the infinite wholeness of the Creator. Quote, it is a cosmic pattern individualized in and through each of us in a unique way, unquote. So as we believe it and have faith in it, then we know it, the immutable laws of our own being. And number seven, as Ernest says, part one of this, quote, it doesn't get born, it doesn't get dead, it doesn't grow old, it doesn't change. Part two, but it makes everything change around us all the time. Now, the first part comes from Ernest paraphrasing my favorite lines from the Bhagavad Gita, and that says, never the spirit was born, the spirit shall cease to be never. Never was time it was not. End and beginning of but dreams. Birthless, deathless, and changeless remaineth the spirit forever. Death hath not touched it at all, dead though the house of it seems, unquote. Now, number eight, the second part, but it makes everything change around all around us all the time. What does this mean? This is the crux of spiritual mind healing. The spirit is within us, our connection to source, our love of life, our zest for life. It's the fullness of whom we really are. Remember, God is omnipotent, omniscient, and omnipresent. And so we too are that. Number nine, as we accept our divine inheritance, we accept our own consciousness. And as Ernest says, quote, project that our own experience, that which is eternally born from the unborn, unquote. Which reminds me of Isaiah 46:9-10. I am, quote, I am God, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, unquote. Number 10, we too, as the physical expression of God within us, we too can declare and it shall appear. Here Ernest makes the point that belief in the past and belief in the future has no existence. The present has complete existence. It's extending forward and backward and around, and is completely subject to the will of the present. As Abraham says, how do you feel now? How do you feel now? You know, now is all that counts. So when we live in connection to the oneness of life with our Creator, then the now consciousness is the creative principle of life. Remember, your now creates your future. As Ernest says, quote, there was one life, which is perfect, That is our life now, and there is no other life. There isn't, unquote. So number 11. Then Ernest says, quote, now that's a good treatment. We got to treat ourselves, he says. Knowing your oneness with all things in the universe, animate and inanimate, knowing the oneness of your creator, having the immutable understanding of the moment-by-moment expansion of the universe, and you are part of it, then you accept and become a part of it. Ask and thy shall receive. As Abraham says, ask and it is given. And number 12, Ernest reminds us not to get caught in the, quote, inertia of thought patterns. Meaning, there is so much un-understanding of these principles that we can get caught up in some doubt. Just don't. As in the parable in the Bible, just keep pounding on the door. Know you are right. Don't take no for an answer. And in number 14, 15, my estimate, you are, quote, you are greater than every saint and sage. Any person is for himself greater than all of the saints that ever lived, unquote. That's a big saying. You see, we are God incarnate, and we have the ultimate choice of our consciousness. We have the ultimate freedom, which must include bondage as a choice. As Abraham says, you are free to choose bondage. Now, we usually choose up to the point of our comfort level. But as we deepen our conviction in the laws of the universe, then we deepen our understanding. And again, as Ernest said, any person is for himself, quote, greater than all the saints that ever lived, unquote. Ernest quotes from Lao Tzu, quote, the man who knows may not be learned. Learned man may never know. Ernest is not criticizing the learned man. He says, no matter what science has demonstrated, which we believe in, there is still a mystical element which goes beyond, unquote. It goes into creating the science. It goes into creating the science, or more specifically, it goes into uncovering, into understanding what is already there. Ernest says, God enters into every creation. He does. It reminded me of a patient that I have, long-term person, and she's a wonderful artist, beautiful pictures, mostly in watercolors. Some are miniatures, some are large ones, and mostly of beautiful landscapes, religious saints and religious things, and they're beautiful. So I ask her, how does she do that, you know? And so, you know, you sit, you don't go and actually know what you're going to paint, let's say, or draw, let's say, or any person who is going to create something, but you're sitting there and getting into alignment, in a sense, and you're waiting for the inspiration to come. The, you know, inspiration is inspired, meaning in spirit. So you wait for that, and then all of a sudden you can start painting, and you don't know exactly the stroke you're doing, but your hand is being guided by spirit. Okay, that God enters into that. And so I told her also, rather than just, and she's in a beautiful place when she's painting, I said, well, look, when you wake up in the morning, I said, every morning, get into that same place so that God can guide you throughout the whole day too. Don't just do it when you're drawing your picture. You know, the story of Michelangelo, when he was asked, how did he create the David? So he said, the David was already there. I just chipped away at the stone that wasn't David. See, God had already placed that into the model, and he just chipped away at it. God is always there. There is a higher power. Max Planck won the Nobel Prize in Physics in the 1940s or maybe the 50s. He was a contemporary of Einstein. And he said, and I believe this was in his acceptance speech for the Nobel Prize. He said, quote, as a man who has devoted his whole life to the most clear-headed science, to the study of matter, I can tell you, as a result of my research about atoms, this much. There is no matter as such. All matter originates and exists only by virtue of a force, which brings the particle of an atom to vibration and holds its most minute solar system of the atom together. We must assume behind this force for existence of the existence of a conscious and intelligent mind. This mind is the matrix of all matter, unquote. Ernest believes we are a sentient universe. Quote, everything from toadstools to archangels are just varying degrees of consciousness and intelligence manifesting in infinite variations, unquote. We say all creation is already done, so line up with that which you are one. What we emanate, we create. The vibration of our emanation comes back to us in a like vibration or creation. Ernest then emphasized the oneness of the universe. The material and spiritual are still one. The laws of nature and metaphysical laws are still one. Remember, as above, so below. As Ernest says, quote, we neither materialize spirit nor spiritualize matter. The mental image in the mind and the form it takes out there are but one and the same, identical and interchangeable. They are the action of consciousness producing a two-faced unity of temporary liquidity and temporary solidness, unquote. And then Ernest says, quote, this is the basis upon which spiritual mind healing may be consciously taught. What is this basis? Well, the material and the mental are the same. They are governed by the same universal laws. The consciousness weaves a tapestry of temporary liquidity and temporary solidity. This tapestry of life is forever fluid, guided by the universal laws, which Ernest says are, quote, intelligence acting as law, unquote. Our consciousness is divine intelligence individualized to the uniqueness of each and every one of us. We have to be fully aware at all times of the unity of all things. Ernest says, quote, from cradle to grave, unquote, we are hypnotized with negation. Just look around at the milieu we're raised in. Just listen to the news or the emails or the texts coming through all day. Quote, the very key to spiritual mind healing is a consciousness that we are living in a spiritual universe. Now, and there is no difference between mind and what mind does. It may look solid, but in reality, it is liquid, unquote. You know, and Ernest quotes Emerson, who said, we view the universe as solid fact, God as liquid law. Abraham says, it's liquid love. Love that. And now, how do we activate the laws of the universe? How do your desires materialize? How do you activate, quote, ask and I shall receive, right? Well, the law of electricity has always been there. Remember, all creation is already done. It took someone to get into alignment with source and allow the discovery to come through. In order to activate electricity, you have to plug something in or turn the switch with a light to light up. In a like manner, a demand must be made to the universe for it to respond. And Ernest says, quote, the most potent demand is the most silent, unquote. He quotes Lao Tzu, quote, most things are possible to him who can perfectly practice inaction, unquote. Remember, be still and know that I am God. The I am is God. The I am is you. Inseparable. Ernest says, quote, thoughts create all the conditions we experience. The thinker creates his thoughts. That says it all, unquote. Well, dabbling in physical treatments or psychologically and mental issues is okay, he says. Remember, we believe in science and new concepts that are evolving. We live in a world of relativity. And Ernest says, quote, now, we are absolutists living in a world of relativity, unquote. See, we're not here to resolve any differences. There are no differences. It's just liquidity, moving to solidity, moving to liquidity. It's the thinker. And now as practitioners in giving a treatment, Ernest says, we have to take a step up and transcend any differences, not try to reconcile any differences. In a talk David Martin gave last year, he said the original sin, which means missing the mark, was separation. He referenced Genesis 3:8, said the Lord came into the garden and they hid from him. You see, Eve had just eaten the apple and all of a sudden they recognized their nakedness and were embarrassed. So Eve got the big fig leaf and they hid behind the tree from the Lord. We must transcend separation and know our oneness with Source. The techniques of treatment are only to get to this place. Ernest said, absolute and complete faith will do it. But few people have it. The recipient of the treatment does need some belief or he wouldn't be there, right? The practitioner, on the other hand, needs as close to complete belief as possible. When the sick person stood before Jesus, Jesus didn't see their sickness. He looked into their eyes and saw their soul development. He saw where they were going. He saw their inherent well-being. His vibration of oneness and purity of thought was so strong that in that milieu, only a like vibration of well-being could exist. So the blind could see and the crippled could walk. And he said, you are healed by your faith. Ernest then gives an example of giving a dedication to a new Science of Mind church. So he's on the podium giving the dedication. And he said, where the golden Sierras keep watch over the valleys bloom. Now that must be a beautiful place in California, Del Monte or something. I'll get to that later. He said, where the golden Sierras keep watch over the valleys bloom. He's looking over and that's the view from that church. And at that moment of time, you couldn't see the mountains or the valley due to the smog. But they were there, regardless of the smog. And Ernest says something that I think is the essence of treatment. Quote, now whatever it is that clears up the smog will not be conscious of the smog, or it will continue to get smoggier, unquote. Remember, where your attention goes, your energy flows. Unity has a saying, look past the appearance of discord or disharmony. You must look past the appearance of what is and look at whom we really are, wholeness. But that vision draws a like vibration to the milieu you are in. You know, the beauty of the mountains and the valleys bloom are a physical representation of God's beauty. The beautifulness within each of us is that we are children of God. As Dr. Carolyn says, we have divine DNA. So as we concentrate on our divinity, then our thoughts become things. Discord becomes accord. Disharmony becomes harmony. Illness becomes wellness. Attitude becomes gratitude. Ernest quotes Aurobindo, who says, and maybe someone later can say who Aurobindo is, but he says, quote, transcendence does not reconcile, it transmutes, unquote. Ernest is clear that we are not here to reconcile opposites or differences. He says we are transcendental realists, unquote. You see, everything has a purpose and a freedom to be expressed. Freedom is the key and must not be suppressed. I believe bondage is freedom, he says. Abraham says you are so free you can choose bondage. Abraham also says the basis of life is freedom. The purpose of life is joy. Mm-hmm. Well, then Ernest says, we are fourth dimensional people in a three dimensional world. This brings to mind the quote in Neville's The Power of Awareness, where he quotes George Carey. Quote, visions of beauty and splendor, forms of a long-lost race, sounds and faces and voices from the fourth dimension of space, and on through the universe, boundless, our thoughts go lightning sharp. Some call it imagination, and others call it God. Unquote. Then Ernest says what I consider one of the most important points of this talk. He says, quote, and always the fourth dimension is pressing against us, but we don't know it, unquote. So you see, we don't always feel it. We still have to somewhat convince ourselves of the immediacy of its availability, of the absoluteness of its action. In this third dimension of relativity, which we still are a part of every day, we must acknowledge the oneness of the universe. We must strive to live in the fourth dimension, at one with the loving intelligence of whom we really are. As Ernest says, quote, we are fourth dimensional people. We are spiritual beings. We are transcendental agencies living in a dimensional world. And there's nothing wrong with it, or it wouldn't be here. But it will always have to, but it will not always have to obstruct us. And this, and then he says, as long as consciousness is aware, it will produce that of which it is aware. Unquote. As long as consciousness is aware, it will produce that which it of which it is aware. Dr. Joe Dispenza, in many of his meditations, after relaxing you down in the quantum field of infinite possibility, he says, now, as an awareness, aware of being aware, unquote. See, aware of being able to connect with whatever you desire. Remember, all creation is already done. All you have to do is line up with that which you are one. You know, Abraham's initial definition of law of attraction, that which is likened to itself is drawn. So as we are aware of the oneness with whom we really are, then we will produce that which we are aware of. Then we will produce our inheritance of well-being. At the end of this chapter, Ernest talks of the church he was helping to set up in El Monte, California. I don't know the place, but I believe it's a beautiful sanctuary. That's the one with the mountains and the valley below. It is here that he reveals the depth of and the beauty and the splendor of his understanding of who we really are. You know, Walt Disney said, nothing is created before it is created in the mind first. Recently, Lisa and I were listening to a gymnastics competition, and there were two commentators. And sometimes there are four apparatuses that the girls have to perform on. And there's often a long time between, and they have to sit and wait to start their routine, because the judges are still trying to get the right value on the one before. So one of the commentators asked the woman commentator, who was a prior gymnast, he said, well, what is the girl thinking about now? She's standing and waiting. What is she thinking about? And she said, the mental choreography is as important as the physical choreography. She was mentally, in her mind, she was performing that routine. Ernest said in relation to this new church he was setting up, okay, quote now, in mind, we know the address so that people will know where to congregate. It's at the point of our perception. Still quoting him, time comes out of timelessness. We evoluted at will. I love Ernest. Time comes out of timelessness. We evoluted at will. So Sunday morning, he said, the place, the address, Sunday morning is the time. We create time at that place for that purpose. That is the way it works. That is the way everything works. The purpose of our treatment is to bring people who can be best served there, that they can be made whole. Therefore, let's get whole ourselves. Let's live in the happiness of our wholeness. Ernest said, quote, "I wouldn't give a nickel for a well person who isn't glad. I would rather have a corpse that is happy." The other day, I was in Total Wine, obviously to get happy. And on the way home, a church marquee said, "Holy happy hour, half an hour concert, and then wine and cheese. They know the way." Doesn't the Bible say, "Knock and the door shall open"? Well, last week, walking into a building to get my haircut, there was a sign just inside the entrance which said, "Open the door to unlimited possibility." Now, Ernest is saying here about this service in church, quote, "Let's open the doorway from wholeness that heals unwholeness, so that all the presence of love and healing power and light and joy are with us." Quote again, beautiful. "The children will play in the garden of God where the eternal light shines and there is no darkness," unquote. Remember now, there's no separation. And from Isaiah 24:14, they lift up, quote, "They lift up their voices, they sing for joy, they shout from the west over the majesty of the Lord," unquote. And from Ernest, "And they will sing, and they will dance, and they will have joy. And they shall come from the north and south and east and west. The healing power of this consciousness will flow through him into perfect light and joy and action and complete gladness. The presence and power of the living spirit within us is absolute," and I say resolute, "and we are grateful for the privilege of speaking it." And I'm continuing with him. "So let's speak it for every church and religious science, for every practitioner, for every word that goes out, there is healing and wholeness and joy," unquote. Then Ernest tells us that the most important thing is our individual connection to our Creator, to the living spirit within, to the law of our own being. He admonishes us to stay away from doubt, to dismiss, "I'm not good enough," or "it's too good for me." Abraham says, quote, "When desire meets doubt, it doesn't meet very well. When desire meets hope, you are right on the edge of the vortex and it sweeps you in and shows you something that will make a believer out of you," unquote. Ernest says, "The light is there anyway. All we're doing is recognizing it," unquote. Again, the fourth dimension is always pressing against us. So, quote, "We may as well accept it and drop everything out of thought that denies it," unquote. Doesn't the Bible say, "Look to the good"? In a chapter on failure in Neville's book, The Power of Awareness, he says, quote, "The time it takes your assumption to become fact, your desire to be fulfilled, is directly proportionate to the naturalness of your feeling of already having what you desire," unquote. So let's live in our oneness with source. Remember, the fourth dimension is always pressing against us. So let's accept it as a part of us, within and all around us. Let's live in the naturalness of whom we really are. Thoughts and mind come back to you in kind. Last month at an Abraham meetup, Connie said that as practitioners, empathy commiserates with where you are, whereas compassion commiserates with whom you are. Well, who are we? We are the light. At the end of a Joe Dispenza meditation, he says, "So, quote, so have compassion and care and kindness towards your beautiful self," unquote. Practice the truth. Connect to your inner being. Connect to whom you really are, your beautiful self of love, light, and spirit. And Ernest finishes with, "Wherever he walks, there is light, the light of heaven, that everything he touches shall be made whole right now. And everything we touch is quickened into action and into life and into joy and peace and into home," unquote. So live and speak your truth. And so it is.